This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Through education, motivation, and implementation, we will bridge the gap between knowing and doing so we can master fat loss naturally and help you reach your highest potential. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Or welcome to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. I hope you're having a great day so far. Thanks for spending a little bit of it with me. I'm pumped about today's topic because this theme has been coming up multiple times every day for the past week or more. And when that happens, I just know that it's something I have to share on the podcast. When there's something that comes up either in the form of a question or a struggle or a solution or all of the above, and this is a little bit of all of that, it's got to get out there. It's got to get out there into the world. And I want to challenge you to ask yourself as we go through the next 20 minutes or so, what is there in this for me? Where is this showing up in my life? And what is an improvement I can make? I want to start off by suggesting that we all have narratives, stories we escape to. When we're stressed, when we're tired, when we're frustrated, when we're over emotional, maybe it is about our past failures. Maybe it's about our fears and our doubts. Maybe it's about our limitations, how busy we are, how we don't have enough time, how we don't have enough money, how we're getting older, how our metabolism has changed. But we all have these narratives that we escape to that are holding us back. And some of the hardest work that you will ever do in the process of creating change is letting go of these narratives, of these stories, of these limitations. Too often, we think about change as all the things we need to add, all the things we need to start doing, all the things we need to pick up. When in reality, some of the biggest results will come from not what we add, but what we let go of, what we remove. Because these narratives that you escape to, they don't have anything to do with where you're going. I've shared that a couple weeks ago now, I had the privilege of spending the weekend with a handful of people from the Primal Potential Masters Club. It was amazing. And one of my friends was, because these people really, they're not just friends, they've become family to me, which is why I love that group so much and really foster the relationships through the rookies 12-week group and then the veterans 12-week group. And then people are eligible to go into the Masters Club. And by then we've worked together for so long that I genuinely think of these people as family. But one of my friends was sharing that she wants to be stronger, mentally, physically stronger than she is now. And we talked about that for a little bit. And then the conversation shifted to the doubt. For probably 5 minutes or more, she was talking about the past and how she's always wanted this thing, but it's never been enough. Wanting to be stronger physically and emotionally, more consistent, it hadn't been enough up until this point. And she had all of this doubt, all of this fear stemming from her past patterns. She's drifted, she's given up, she's made excuses, she's let herself down. And that was really framing the desire. It wasn't just about what she wants and what she can do. The majority of what she wants was filtered through fear and doubt. So I was trying to help her cut to the chase and simplify and differentiate between what do I want, where am I going, and where have I been, what am I afraid of? So I asked her, you want to be strong. You want to be stronger than you are now, mentally and physically. Is it possible for you? She started in with something other than a yes or no answer, a qualification. And I cut her off. Is it possible for you? Is this possible for you? She said, yes. I said, do you want it? She said, yes. I said, is it important? She said, yeah, but I mean, it's been important. No. She was starting to say it's been important before, and that wasn't enough. But I stopped her because the past isn't relevant. It's not a factor. When you choose to make it a factor, you have placed a limitation on yourself by choice that isn't going to help. You can't simultaneously carry that with you and create change. You're carrying the problem or you're choosing the solution. You probably do this too. Take your past experiences and project them onto your present, giving yourself a limitation by choice. The way things have been is not the way they are unless you choose to continue it. And when you carry the story of the problem in the past and the fear and the doubt, you're carrying it. You are saying, it's here with me now. And you have the option to say, nope, this is a new moment. And I'm not carrying the past, the problem, the fear, the doubt with me. In that moment, and in every moment for the foreseeable future, she has an important choice to make. She had to make it in that moment. And I'm telling you, she and you are going to have to make it 1,000 more times in the weeks and months that follow. And that is either focus on what is possible and that you are capable and what you can do right now, what she can do to be strong right now in this moment, or focus on the past. Carry that. The reality is it's not relevant unless you choose to bring it with you into this moment. As you create change, yes, there are going to be things you have to pick up, new things that you're going to have to adopt. But more importantly, what do you have to let go of? What past pattern, what story, what narrative is about the problem is not with you in this moment unless you carry it here that you have to say, I'm leaving that behind. The disappointment from the past was the narrative she was choosing to escape to when starting to acknowledge what she wants. Kind of gives her an out. It makes her feel safer to establish that there is doubt. But you don't have to choose that perspective. You don't have to escape to that narrative. You can say that was the past and it doesn't have any bearing on what is available to me now. Let the narrative go. Ask yourself, is this story that I'm escaping to, is this seed of doubt I'm fueling and feeding with my thought and attention, is it part of the solution that I want to choose? Is it part of what I'm trying to create or is it what I need to leave behind? I explained to her that there is a straight path from where you are right now to what you want to create. If she wants strength, there is a straight path. I am here. It is possible. I am capable. This is what I can do now to create strength, to choose to be strong, to demonstrate that physical, mental, emotional strength. There is that path. It is always possible. If you stay locked in on that straight path, I want to be strong physically and mentally. It is possible. I am capable. What can I do in this moment? What is the choice that reflects that strength? That straight path is always available. There are also emotional detours that you can choose, but you don't have to choose them. Emotional detours of the past, emotional detours to fear, to doubt, to stress, to barriers and limitations. And this came up in the rebranding exercises that I've been doing with my master's club. I mentioned them in episode 480 and episode 481. If you haven't listened to those ones, they'd be good ones to go back to. But this came up as one of the potential rebrands for one of the folks in the master's club. No emotional detours. Don't get it twisted though. That doesn't mean don't feel emotion. You can feel the emotion, but you don't have to take an emotional detour away from where you are trying to go. for her in choosing strength. It's keeping your attention, your thoughts, and your actions focused on, am I choosing strength right now? Am I operating from a strong place right now? Or recognizing, is this an emotional detour to doubt, to focusing on the past, on focusing to focusing on fear? You don't have to choose emotional detours and where you are giving energy that isn't relevant to where you want to go. You can choose to leave that behind. And this takes many forms, right? That is just one example. But as I said, this has come up so many times in so many ways. And thinking back, I had a conversation a couple months ago, again, actually with a Master's Club member who has been working to drink less and to be more moderate when she does drink. And ever since I've known her, which is easily a couple years now, she's told me how she grew up in a family that celebrated with drinking and eating in excess. And alcohol has always been the way she socializes, the way she celebrates, the way she deals with stress. I get that. Well, not long ago, we were visiting, and she was telling me how much progress she's made and how her life has changed. And after maybe a couple of minutes of talking about the positive improvements, she went right back to that narrative of how she's always used alcohol, the narrative of the past, why she's used alcohol, how she's used alcohol, the way her family used alcohol. And she said, I mean, that's just my story. I drink a lot. That's how I was raised. It's how I am. And I said to her, it's only your story because you keep telling it. And she said, all right, you know, but what I mean is, it's my past, right? So that's my story. She was saying, it's who I am because it's who I was. Well, that doesn't make it your story. Who said that your story has to be about where you've been? Like, this is who I am. I've shared here so many times that one of the most common emails I get every day is somebody saying, just so you know a little bit about me. And then they tell me about the last 10, 15, 20 years of their struggle. So they're doing the same thing. Let me tell you who I am based on who I have been. But who said that the past has to be who you are? Who said the past has to be your story? Your story doesn't have to be about what's behind you. Why are you limiting where you are, who you are, by where you've been? In this case, it was her story because she kept telling it. She kept claiming it. It was the narrative she returned to. But your story can be about where you're going or where you are now, what you want now. I explained to her, I have a history, right? I have a history of struggles with weight and emotional eating and binge eating and yo-yo dieting and not feeling good enough and making excuses for myself and apologizing for myself. But that's not my story. My story is about where I am right now and where I'm going. My story is not about my pain. My story is about my potential. And that is a very different operating system. Too many of us are going through life making our story all about the past and all about the pain instead of giving our energy to our potential, to what is possible, to the progress we can create, where we're going, what we want. Stop telling a story about what you don't want. It's only your story because you keep choosing it. You keep giving attention to it. You keep giving energy to it. Remember, when it comes to change, there are things you're going to have to add, but the more powerful change is going to come from what you let go of. During one of these rebranding calls recently, one of my clients was sharing that she wanted to create the same improvements with food that she has made with alcohol. And she was explaining that she used to be a binge drinker. And when she started to shift this behavior, the first couple days without alcohol were hard. She was miserable. She didn't feel well, and it felt like a sacrifice. Like she was missing out. Like the alcohol had more to give her than life without the alcohol had to give her. But she said once she got to the third or fourth day without alcohol, She started to remember just how great she feels without alcohol, and that allowed her to change her perspective. Instead of now seeing alcohol as this thing she wanted to experience and she didn't want to miss out, she was able to see it from the perspective of she's really missing out on feeling great. So she doesn't want the alcohol. She actually desires more of the days without alcohol. And she said she wanted to create that same reframe, that same contrast with food. She wanted to give herself the experience of feeling really amazing as a result of making great food choices so that it's no longer about what she's missing out on if she doesn't indulge. But instead of that, it becomes about what she's missing out on if she does indulge. So a few minutes into that conversation, she shifts and starts telling this story about an old friend of hers. She recently saw a picture on Instagram of this old friend and felt jealous. She said, this person made different choices and she seems to be so much more successful than I am and she is healthier and she looks great and she's making moves in her career and I didn't make those choices, so I'm not experiencing that success. And she talked about that for a couple of minutes and I said, that's not relevant. You can tell that story, you can go to that narrative, but it doesn't have anything to do with the path that you want to take. Yes, we can look and say, what did that person do and can I do those things? But when you go to the narrative of jealousy, when you go to the narrative of what you didn't do, you are carrying something that reflects the problem versus giving your energy to the solution. The jealousy, somebody else's story, takes you out of your power and puts you right in your problem. The very next conversation I had in these rebranding calls was with a middle-aged client who was sharing that she needs to stop overthinking. And the middle-aged thing is an important detail. I didn't just throw that in there for contrast or anything. She needs to stop overthinking. She was explaining that she often ends up doing nothing at all because she's thinking through all of the possible options and then she feels overwhelmed by the options, so she does nothing. And we talked about creating the experience of just one day thinking less and doing more. Instead of trying to solve the problem overall, how do I change the way my mind works? Just today, breaking through the thought and into the action. Like, oh, here I am thinking about this thing. I'm just going to make a choice. And it doesn't have to be the perfect choice. It just has to be a choice. So I can prove to myself how much time and energy I save when I get out of this cycle of thinking and not doing. Turning off the thought faucet and getting into action. So we come up with that, and then she says, it's weird. It's just a weird transition in my life. My kids are off to college, and you know, my body has changed, and this different phase of life is just an adjustment. It's really strange, this transition. I guess I'm in this transitional phase of life. And at first, my response might seem harsh to people who don't know me or understand what my goals are in these conversations. I said, is that a question? We're trying to solve something here? And I said, I'm not being rude at all. But that familiar narrative that we turn to when we suddenly feel on the hook to create change, it doesn't help. It's not part of the solution. You're kind of arguing with reality. Okay, so life has changed. And? Again, I'm not trying to be dismissive or rude, and she knew that, and I made the point in the group call, so hopefully nobody's going to like email me and talk about how I don't care, because I care very much. The point is, the familiar reality you turn to may not have anything to do with what you are capable of and what you need to do today. In that moment, she was going right back to the problem, which is overthinking. That narrative of, I'm in this transitional phase of life, doesn't have anything to do with what she can do today to create the change she wants. It's just a narrative we turn to when we often lose a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of emotion in that place. We go to that familiar narrative when it doesn't help, and we go to that familiar narrative even if it hurts because we're used to it. And I want you to challenge yourself to think about, is this relevant? It's not that I don't care or you shouldn't care about the circumstances of your life, but oftentimes they are just not relative. Is it part of the solution? Does it in any way alter what you can do today? Nope. It's just an energy vacuum. Whether for you that narrative is your age, your stress, your job, don't use those things as a distraction from doing what you can do now. It just doesn't matter. Let the narrative go. The past is over. Your circumstances are what they are. You don't need to argue with reality. Do what you can do today to be the change you desire, to create the change you crave. You can focus on what you're going through. You can focus on what you're going to. It's different. Is your narrative part of the solution? Or is it part of the problem? Is it part of the past? And I was thinking just a few minutes ago about ways that I do this, narratives that I escape to see if you can identify some of your patterns in this. I know for me, when I recognize them, I get to practice letting them go, leaving them behind. And the more I practice that, the less that it's a part of my pattern, that it becomes a habit, right? One of them for me is specific to the gym and working out. And I can quickly go to the narrative, I'm too busy, which is not in any way part of the solution. It's entirely the problem. And in those moments, I just very quickly say, I don't tell stories about the problems. I participate in solutions. What can I do? All right, if I say I can't get to the gym, well, what can I do? Because I'm not giving energy to problems. I give energy to solutions. What can I do? And the other part of it is, I'm not telling myself that I'm too busy to work out, because I've seen this said before about meditation. If you don't have 10 minutes to meditate, you need 20, right? Like if you can't meditate for 10 minutes, you need to meditate for 20 because you need the time most. And I think about that very much in terms of working out. When I feel like I am too busy to work out, that's when I need it the most. When I feel like time is short, I've got to prioritize the things that make me a better steward of my time, like working out. Outside of the gym side of things, though, I can tell myself the story. I can retreat to the narrative that's very familiar, that I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough if I'm facing something risky with work or even with connecting with new people. I'm not good enough. And I refuse to tell myself that story. That is something I'm leaving behind. That is something when I recognize it in that moment, I set it down. I would never in 100 million years tell some other person that they are not good enough. So I won't say it to myself. When I think I'm not good enough, that doesn't reflect what I want. It doesn't reflect my potential. It is coming from fear. It is coming from the problem. And I don't carry those things with me. I will not pick up a weapon against myself. When I think about walking up to somebody else and saying, you're not good enough, it kind of makes me feel sick to my stomach. I would never in 1 million years say that to another person. So I sure as heck am not going to say that to myself. Give some thought to this. What is the narrative you escape to? And there are probably several. When you find your attention there, refuse to stay there. It has power only when you fuel it with thought, only when you fuel it with attention. That narrative you escape to is only as strong as the power you give it, and you give it power when you are mentally there, thinking about it, speaking about it, writing about it, acting on it. You can starve it of all its attention, of all its authority, of all its influence in your life when you refuse to give it your attention. Do not participate. Set it down. Let it go. Leave it behind. Some of the most powerful things we can do in creating change come from what we let go of, less from what we add. All right, as we wrap up, I want to remind you guys that the wait list is open for the fall 2018 12-week 2 transformation group, focusing on Yes, physical health for sure. We do talk about nutrition and those changes, but even more so, these kinds of mental and emotional tools that we're talking about today. So that wait list is open. You can head over to primalpotential.com and hit the Work With Me tab in the upper right hand corner, or you can go to the show notes page for this episode, primalpotential.com/483. And under resources, I will link to that wait list as well. I will be working with veteran groups over the summer. So if you're currently in the spring group, it'll be an easy transition. If you've been in a past group and you want to participate in the summer group, just shoot me an email and I will make sure you're taken care of. You can reach me, Elizabeth@primalpotential.com, and I will make sure to get you where you need to be for this summer 12-week veteran groups. Hope you have a fantastic day. I will chat with you soon and really give some thought to these narratives you escape to that are not working for you and choose to leave them behind, even just for today. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.